Welcome to Double Helix, the TF podcast. On this episode, we solicited for your questions, and we'll be answering as many of them as we can in the period of time that is allowed for this podcast. We are all here live at Fuego's house, and we're chilling with her and her bajillion pets. So this should be a fun one. So we're here all together, and we're going to record this podcast for you with questions that you have submitted to us. So thank you to everyone who submitted questions. We got a ton on FA. We got some on Tumblr. And we were very happy to go through them. You guys put a lot of thought into them. I don't think we're going to be able to get to everybody's, but we did get a great selection. And I just want to say thanks again to everyone who submitted. So before we get any further, because this is important to do at the top of the podcast, especially for a podcast we do as perennially as this one, I'm Anger Boda.
I'm the sweet party baby husband, Tyrion.
I'm ABCD.
And I am Fuego.
And we're here to talk to you about TF and TF smut.
We're here to talk about what makes you boner.
Well, honestly, a lot of the questions that we got were about what we like. And so I kind of loaded the front of the podcast with questions that people asked us. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? So we're going to try and blaze through those at the top of it because there's some meatier questions later on in the show. It's all good content, but I feel like if we can answer these questions, we're probably in good shape. If you can please forgive the intermittent animal noises.
That's us.
That also may be us.
But mostly Fuego Pets.
Mostly Fuego Pets. All right. So the first question that we got, or the first one that I have on our list is, what are some examples of TF material, art stories, or mainstream stuff that stand out to you as awesome pieces of TF appeal, be it dramatic, thought-provoking, arousing, or even frightening? So I'm sure we all have faves.
I'll start it because if you haven't seen any of Griff's stuff in the TF fandom, he's one of the oldest guys who ever got me into TF, and his stuff is really actually very, very well done and artful at times.
Yeah.
He did one sequence that I can think of especially. It was like a person who was trapped in either a pit or a well of some kind, and it was black and white, and they eventually turned into a raven, I think it was, or some type of bird, and flew out, and it was very nice. I think like their stuff is definitely got a theme of like story and artfulness to it, as well as just being like subliminally very hot.
He does very good like anatomy stuff, right? Like
his anatomy is pretty good, and the thing that I think is really good about Griff is his textures are really good. Like he can paint the difference between feathers and fur and wet skin and all kinds of different stuff, and I think that's a really evocative part of TF.
I don't know if he's doing anything new, but yeah, if you want to check that out, like
I'm sure there's relatively new stuff. I'm pretty sure that I've seen.
Griff stuff when I was but a youngling. So.
Yeah, I think his werewolf site or one of his sites was like the first thing that I found that I was like, oh hey, this whole TF thing.
I think you're thinking of Lobo Leo.
No, I'm genuinely thinking of Griff.
Okay.
I was going to mention Bar One Scorpio's
Peter is the Wolf.
Peter is the Wolf. If you're looking for something very porny, but also very funny and very cute.
As a caveat, I haven't read Peter's the Wolf in like a couple years.
I have since fallen out of like reading it
but
regularly.
The art's cute and the story's
cute. He also has an SFW version of the comic that you can read, which actually when it gets pornier, you can switch over to SFW if you don't want any sex aspects to it. Or you can read both at the same time because it kind of is funny to see how he takes the story. How it's edited so that it can go either safe for work or very not.
There's a lot of werewolf stuff.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of people who are, like, artists with mainstream appeal that cross over into the werewolf stuff. Those are both good examples. Mm-hmm.
But I think those are probably the two that I had that are, like, either from, like, a very cartoony, porny sort of thing and also from a very artistic,
more realistic special effects.
Yeah. And I mean, of course, there's so many old good cartoons that have good TF sequences that that we could just get into.
But let's just recommend 90s cartoons.
90s cartoons as a whole is why we're here today.
We also watched Ginger Snaps 2 last night.
Oh my god.
So, like, I don't think
we have to get into like how great those movies are, but Ginger Snaps 1 and 2, especially if you're into like female TF. are really super duper good.
And we also found out that the screenplay writer of the Ginger Snaps movies has a lot of werewolf erotic fiction.
Yeah, she writes werewolf erotic fiction, which I guess we should check out and possibly review on a future episode.
I think so. Maybe we can get her on the podcast.
That would be rad, but I don't want to shoot for the moon. All right, what do you like, Abe?
Okay, well, in terms of like someone who's doing stuff at the moment, whose stuff I really quite like on FA, I'm sure he's around in other places as well, but there's an artist called Lunate, who does like a lot of like, he does comics and sequences and stuff as well, but he just sort of has a lot of like very TF-focused sort of ideas. He's got like a whole world of his set up with a bunch of very TF sort of creatures in it that's like, oh, this is the type of creature that TF people into this. And
he does really good world building.
He does really good world building, and I like a lot of the stuff. Like, some of the stuff he does is a little bit hard for me, but also, like, a lot of the stuff he does is good.
He does a lot of slimy lizard girls, so...
That's, yeah, there's definitely that. There's definitely that as an issue. So, yeah, he's a guy that I quite like. And other than that, in terms of when you brought up Peter as the Wolf, it reminded me that there's a webcomic that I still read called El Gunashive.
Oh, yeah, I used to read that.
Yeah, it's like...
Is it still going on?
It's still going on.
It was going on 15 years ago.
I know, but one of the interesting things about it, I mean, it is TF-focused, but it's very safe for work. It's not sort of sexualized, even though a lot of the characters really like it. And it has a lot of sort of gender stuff in it as well. And it's actually surprisingly well handled. But one of the things that I really like about it is the fact that the... like Fuego pointed out, it was going on like 15 years ago. And if you look at the original artwork 15 years ago, it looks like someone who just started a webcomic.
Trying to start to draw a webcomic,
yeah. But now the guy is actually like significantly good at drawing. They've like really improved throughout their career. They've learned a lot of lessons. They've been able to take criticism, and they've been able to like really grow as an artist. And their writing has really gotten stronger as well. And it's very sort of character focused in a good way, but also fun. And anyway, I find it enjoyable, and there's a lot of archives there.
Yeah,
so
there's a lot. Like I would catch up on it, but there's a big gap there.
Yeah,
15 years of gap.
And Zebra Girl.
Zebra Girl.
Excellent.
Is Zebra Girl still going on?
Still going. It's once a week.
Super good.
But it's the art on that is amazing.
Yeah.
The story on that is really good as well. Zebra Girl is done by Joe England, I think.
Yeah.
And his like pencil work is amazing.
He went to school for sequential art.
Yeah.
I think he went to ASCAD, so he's like good.
Yeah, yeah. Those are like very long-standing, very good webcomics. I mean, Zebra Girl has less archives because it's generally been updating once a week, but still very solid. And they both have at least significant TF elements, because Zebra Girl is all about a person that gets a woman that gets changed into a sort of a zebra-like demon, and then that happens early on, and then the rest of it is her sort of dealing
with
that.
She dovetails into a question we have later on.
Yes.
But anyway.
That's
also, I will recommend, for anybody who's interested in like more bizarre TF, not necessarily animal focused, Mod 7 is on the universe on Tumblr. Their stuff is a lot of like gender or
sex doll stuff,
a lot of like genital TF. I mean, it's not something that I'm into per se, but definitely like
there are
super well done.
Even if you're not super into the subject matter, I feel like their art's really good. And so when you can find
when you can find
the things they draw that mesh with the stuff you like,
it's one of those things where it's like I don't necessarily boner to this, but like I am just impressed at the quality of work that gets put into it.
But there is some stuff that's kind of boners. Anyway, Fuego, what do you like?
So, I mean, I guess we already talked about Ginger Snaps 2, which is probably the best TF movie ever made.
Not 3. 3's garbage.
That's like Indiana Jones 4. We didn't even mention it. But 2 is amazing. If you haven't seen Ginger Snaps 2, you should go and see it. It's incredibly good. And you can paw to it the whole fucking time. Like, beginning to end, you can paw to that film.
As long as you don't find some sort of public screening to watch it at.
Yeah. Watch it at home, in your bed.
There you go. In a more generic sense, the stuff that I like we've determined is a genre called lesbian puppy drama, which is, that sounds really specific, but it's more of a...
The book you lent me that I didn't finish reading, that one...
It's lesbian puppy drama.
It's lesbian puppy drama.
Yeah.
The name of the book is called Bitch, I forget the author. But
I think, it's called Leash,
I'm sorry.
Oh God, what is the author's name?
I forget the author's name.
It's really super intense, by the way. Leash is really super intense.
So define the genre that you would...
Okay, lesbian puppy drama is like a very emotionally intense examination of the repercussions of transformation. So stuff where the transformation is slow and you are mentally trying to come to terms with each little piece of it as it happens and what are the repercussions in your life and how do people react to you and how do you react to your environment and things like that. So that's lesbian puppy drama. And then, let's see, a specific recommendation of an art sequence that I really like that is at least somewhat recent because I'm ancient. And I tend to actually like stories more often than art stuff, but let's see.
Yeah, I guess, is there any other authors that, you know, besides...
That's a good point we haven't mentioned.
Yeah.
Yes. Taki.
Taki.
Taki writes Taki's
really
stuff,
good.
Yeah.
Taki.
We're a little biased, but Taki's really a pretty decent writer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Damned One. I don't even know who that is, but they write some stuff on Doc's Lab that I liked.
That's not the right now. Is kind of a good resource for
you. Kind of have to plow through a lot of content.
There's a lot of content, but they do a good job of flagging it up top of this is what this contains.
Yeah.
So you can at least go okay, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Sammy the Gnome King does a lot of stuff that I really really like. Let's see, for an art sequence that I liked recently, the Little Red Riding Hood one that...
Oh, Stiletto
Pink.
Stiletto Pink,
yeah.
If you're listening to this podcast, you should know who Stiletto Pink is, her and Watt. They're a power duo pretty solidly.
Yeah.
And that's a really
fucking hot comic. I'll give credit to this dude. They're really good.
And even separately, they're pretty solid as well, because I know they've been doing a lot of separate stuff lately. They're both, you should check them both out if you... listen to this podcast.
Yeah. And I would be remiss if we didn't mention some of our friends who are into doing stuff who are more 3D. So our friend Swatcher, of course, I mean, his stuff is very intense, but if you have the taste for it, his prosthetic stuff, his real life stuff is
awesome. He does a lot of photo minute stuff. He actually did one of me and Terry in a half in our fursuits which is super interesting.
Swatcher is, if you ever wanted to be a cartoon, if you ever wanted to be Wile E. Coyote, he is a really good person for exploring that.
Our friend Tober also does good makeup stuff.
Tober does great makeup.
Same with Dusky Sam, who is also a friend of Tober's.
Yeah.
Does really good prosthetic stuff, especially if you're into cartoon stuff.
Yeah. The body paint prosthetic stuff is definitely interesting. And then, we have a couple other people that we know, Rick does comics, Pay Comics, or Burley. Mm-hmm. She's, good. And she's gotten a lot better. One of the things that really impresses me is, I feel like she has a really good work ethic. She constantly delivers on commission.
The great thing
she's one of the only people I know that does comics on a short turnaround and,
If you commission Rip, you're going to get it within, a time frame.
Yeah. Which is nice, because, honestly, one of the things I got to say is, even for me, it can be hard keeping a tight turnaround, especially because I have a full-time job, and so when I try and take on commissions, I took a set in June. I finished them in September.
And especially commissioning a comic. That's
comics are.
The nice thing about being a content creator is that you make friends with other content creators and you can recommend them for whatever.
Yeah, it's nice to have a bunch of people who I can recommend. But unfortunately, I know a lot of people that I wouldn't recommend whose stuff I still like anyway.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty sad.
Anyway, Fuego was saying something about had you finished your recommendations?
There's another really hot one. Where somebody does a magic spell and two people turn into really hot cows and super sexy and it goes on for a long time, but I can't remember who did it.
Yeah.
Well...
She just pointed at me.
I know.
It's not really super long. It's two relatively short comics.
Yeah, it's just
the notes.
The guy who commissioned that is really cool. He gave me a lot of artistic freedom on it. The cow one, I think it's Spell of Plenty is one.
Yeah, Spell of Plenty, that's the one.
I don't think I'm the be all end all.
Our other friend of ours, QB, obviously does some pretty good.
Oh, yeah. QB does really good TF stuff.
Especially if you're into latex
Rubber?
As well.
Yeah. Especially latex.
I think between you and QB, you've got the market cornered on that.
I think QB has more of a handle on the, toony latex paint kind of more like Swatch, almost the overlap with Swatcher, but they do he does really good. I don't know if I've ever seen him do straight up human to furry. I'm sure he has, but I just haven't off the top of my head. I can't think of it. There's a bunch of people who used to be really good that don't post anymore. A lot of my favorite people,
Bones,
Liquid XXY was really good, doesn't post anymore, so I think people
Lobo Leo, who we did, kind of did a really cool comic, which I don't know if it ever...
Well, Alpha Loon is still going on.
Okay.
Like, he, I think he, like, is like, producing that and keeps going with it.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, it can be hard with comics, especially long-form stuff, because it's so time-consuming.
We mentioned Ginger Snaps and 90s cartoons, but is there any other mainstream, or, like, what we would call, not necessarily made directly for the TF community, but that the TF community as a whole would, like, be like, yeah, I could get down with that.
Batman.
Animated series.
I mean, you guys know all the episodes of the shows because you've looked all of them up.
Yes,
and you've watched, like, them 3 minutes at a time on YouTube.
Can I also say, like, old school Turtles was always a good choice for that. Even New Turtles to some extent. New Turtles actually is kind of interesting because as a Nickelodeon show, it does get a lot into, like, body horror stuff.
New Turtles does body horror. If you're looking for, like, straight up TF, I wouldn't super recommend it, but body horror, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's...
Well, I'm sure for a lot of people
it's a good show
that.
For other reasons, but it's not great for that. Although, like, the Kerai stuff, like, is... Some of it's okay.
Yeah.
Like, a little bit of snake babin. Do you have any other recommendations? Because I think we kind of skipped past it.
I, like, honest to God, like, the person I recommend is Abe. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't look at a lot of art just because I have a really hard time, like I said, getting off to art. Like, it's art.
Yeah, I'm a story person, too.
Mm-hmm. Art isn't the thing. And I think that is a little bit of a gender divide as well, but I don't want to get into that. But, like, yeah, art isn't my fave. Like, I draw things that I like, but story-wise, like, I used to go on Doc's Lab a lot. I've read through the entire Transformation Story Archive. Like,
yeah, me too.
I feel like I've read through everything on there. And there's some stuff on there that's decent. And even though it's old, like, at least it's done. Like, you have stuff that's, like, standalone stories that are done. So, if someone's whipping out a pager, they can still, you know, turn into something that's pretty boner.
If you want good LPD,
the Werewolf of Wall Street.
There's the Metamore Keep stories are still going on, like, literally 20 years on, that story universe is still going on, and there's some pretty good stuff in there, but it's more drama than sex,
and
but there's some hot
should
stuff
we
in there.
Say Animorphs, too?
Oh,
in terms of
like
a
mainstream
thing.
No, Animorphs ends terrible. Like, I dropped Animorphs in the middle.
Okay.
Like, it ends really terrible.
Choose your own adventure books in general.
Choose your own adventure books.
There tend to be some gems in there.
There's some R.L. Stine ones where it's like, choose your own adventure, and then, like, you are a werewolf. Which is, like, honestly, like, when I was a kid, werewolf stuff was
as close as it got.
French Dog. Brought to you by the new movie Goosebumps out in theaters now.
French Dog is good. I should recommend him because I feel like his stuff is like pretty strong, and he's very in terms of delivering consistently. He's very consistent.
Hmm.
And so, yeah, I think we have another friend in Microphone Underground who's starting to write a little bit more.
His production is nuts. Like he writes
a lot.
He writes
right now.
Yeah,
no, he's got stuff on FA.
He writes stuff and he puts it on FA.
Okay.
It's a lot to like wade through, but it's got some good themes. Like,
when you're talking about choose your own, sorry, you go.
I thought of Dan F. does a lot of stuff, some of which is not my cup of tea, but some of which is really really good. Like,
yeah,
he's a pretty decent writer, and I like the reactions.
I think most people, it's a matter of finding the stuff that they do that you like. I mean, there's people who I love their stuff, and I haven't read everything they've ever written.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's fair. All
right, well, I think we...
Yeah, I think we killed that question.
We killed it.
So,
park.
On to the next one. All right, so we have some quickfire questions that are just general. Do you like this? Do you like that? So we got thoughts on inanimate TFs. Do you guys like them? Do you not like them? Do you not get them? What do you think about them?
I mean, that's my thing. That's my thing, though. So,
you're talking about, like...
Latex specifically, but I mean, like...
Turning into a thing that is still animate, but it's just not
flesh. Sometimes it could be inanimate, so I don't think that's a problem. You know, like, sex doll TF, still very good.
Like, a sex doll that's, like...
I've seen, like, statue...
Playing there?
Well, yeah, I've also seen, like, statue TF that's pretty cool looking. I don't know if plant, anything like that counts, but that can also be kind of cool. So that's, yeah, I think that's cool.
I think, in my case, I'm probably around where Aang is in that there's aspects to it that I like and aspects that I can see, but for me, it generally stops at animate, inanimate, so, like, sex doll, like, living sex doll stuff is really good.
Living sex doll is where
but,
it is for me, too.
Yeah,
so we can just combo on that.
Yeah, but more than that, it doesn't really work for me so much, no.
Not terribly into it. I do like some sex doll stuff, and I do like some plant stuff when I'm feeling particularly freaky, but...
I didn't know you were into that. It's not something.
It's not something like I really go looking for. But like, if I'm really hard up and like that's the story I find, then I can make it work.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good attitude. I can see where the in is with it because it's like that bondage aspect and like not being able to move and stuff.
All right, next one.
Okay. The next question is opinions on TG. Transgender transformation. We're probably going to do a whole episode on, so we're going to shelve that for now.
That is a big topic.
That's way bigger than we can deal with in the.
I think for the most part, we all are okay with it.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with it. There's a lot of nuance there that we're not going to be able to get into with this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Somebody asked us what our opinion is on tours. I think they're great. If you like them, go for it.
Yeah, not necessarily our thing.
They're very difficult to draw sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I can work with them. I've used that in my story sometimes. Sometimes I like the sort of the disparity between like the big sort of lower body and the sort of just human upper body kind of thing. But yeah it's not like...
in the story? You had to write that for tits.
Yeah, and also for the Skankenstein. Skankenstein, that's
it. Oh, you're right. Oh, right. Because she's a centaur with a tourist girl with a plastic.
Yeah. I am not into tours at all because all the TF stuff is like self-insertion for me, and I don't want to have arms, and I don't want to be able to talk. That's like the point.
doesn't do it for me. Some of my best friends are tourists.
Yeah, Godspeed, you beautiful person.
Little six-legged thing.
The next question we got is, do you feel like you've always been attracted to TF? Do you feel like there was a triggering event in your life that started it?
No, I haven't. However, my mother was married in pants, and I was born in France, and too many showers with the varsity team.
Fuego's making a reference to a movie that a lot of people probably won't have seen. She showed me a clip last night, and it was... It's kind of funny because the question was basically like, it was a bunch of people sitting around at camp talking about what made them gay. Like, and it's
like
just,
anything made you gay.
Like anything made you gay. I think it's this kind of a silly of a question to ask. Like, I have a feeling that all of us were probably always predisposed
kind
to, like,
kind of the same reason, like, how I got into furry. Like, I was just, like, online one day, and I was like, oh, that's a cool thing that I like a lot. It's doing some stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think in terms of trigger, it would be more the what made you realize that
makes
something.
More sense.
And in that case, that would be just, you know, various 90s cartoons and then the internet.
I
never watched that. Also.
I would love to go to China and search out, like, the pools and just jump into each fucking pool. Until I found something I liked.
Yeah, it's like the kink thing, right? It's like you either knew you were kinky or you got into it later. I think a lot of us just kind of knew we were into TF from, like, early, like, whenever you saw it. And you're like, yeah, that's pretty great.
Yeah. So then we have another kind of related question that's, as more people are exposed to the internet from an earlier age, do you see the TF fandom growing or shrinking? What do you think is the future of TF? And I think in regards to that last question, I don't see the TF... I see the fandom growing, but I don't see the amount of people that are into TF growing or shrinking because I have a feeling that's a constant.
Well, I think the main thing that I've noticed is this. I feel like any community is going to grow. Like, the internet makes it grow. Like, it just makes it easier to find people who are into the same thing that you're into. I think you're also starting to see that, like, people, like, as opposed to just the community, you're also finding people who are into it a little bit, not necessarily it's their whole thing, but they like it, like TF Tuesday on Twitter and
on
stuff
Twitter,
like
that. Yeah.
So, you know,
but as you get stuff like that, I feel like you get people who are peripherally into TF, like, promoting stuff like that.
Yeah.
The one thing I did want to mention is that I feel like people are kind of looking, this question kind of looks at it as like, oh, people discovering the fandom, like when you're 15 years old and you go on the internet and you're like, oh, furries, and you start looking for porn. I feel like people come to the TF fandom later because it's not just about I liked this thing when I was a kid or I'm super into the idea of being a fox. For a lot of people, I like this sexually. And so that's a later realization for a lot of people. And even later comes the ability to talk about it. And you can't participate in a community until you can have a discussion about something.
Yeah, and it could also be that, like, you know, people sort of discover that they're into the furry community when they're, like, 15 through to 19, and then after being in that for a while, they're like, oh, hey, this subset within that I found, now let's go down to that level, which
kind
it turns out
I'm
really
like, the rabbit hole and going down the rabbit hole of, like, this specific area is, like, what does
or
it.
Or stupidly not realizing the two things are related until they're, like, 18.
Hey,
I was a furry when I was a teenager and just didn't make the connection.
I'd really like to hope that at this point, society is opening up a little bit more, and so that, you know, people in furry are more that, you know, your kink is not my kink, but your kink is okay going on. So
but that's the other thing that I
people
kind of,
can come to it yeah. without feeling ashamed.
This is, I think, the big, I kind of, we fielded the questions a little bit last night. I had this point, which is, like, the one thing I feel that's changing about the TF community, or, like, any community as a whole, is now it's starting to become more of a social thing, whereas, like, before, it was, like, you could just be, like, you could find the art of it, like, on, like, whatever art site, like whether it was Transfer or VCL or wherever, and just be like, yes, okay, and you just have the art yeah. or the stories to look at.
Delete it, you download it, you jerk off to it, you close your computer, you're done.
Whereas yeah. now there's more of the ability to find the content creators and interact with them. Or
please,
like,
be cool about that.
Please always yeah, be cool. Yeah.
But I mean, without that aspect, we wouldn't be all sitting here at Fuego's yeah. house, yeah. checking out for the weekend.
But that's yeah. the cool thing about it, and like, but the downside is, like, now you also run the risk of, like, you know, the interactive part of it being, you know, like, oh, well, I like this TF versus that TF, and your TF is bad.
Yeah.
But, like, you have to kind of always tread lightly and...
I think the thing people need to take away from it is that they need to be less adversarial. When someone likes something that you don't like, that doesn't mean they're a bad person, and it doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It means that you like different things. Mm-hmm. And not shitting on somebody over what they like is something we've talked about a million, million times.
Oh, my God.
It's the most important thing.
Also, yeah. pro tip, if somebody posts something on a website, like FA, and you don't like it, do not comment, I wish blah, blah, blah about this piece of art. You know what you should say?
Nothing.
Nothing, absolutely
don't
nothing.
Say anything. And, say, I like it, or yeah. shut up.
And I think yeah. that was another point I came to the other night, is, like, if you have an idea for a sequence or something that you, if there's not, if it's not out there, there are so many ways now to, like, make it happen. Either
yeah.
make it yourself or commission it. And it's making it, that's the other nice thing about the community growing, is there's so much, it's so much easier to find the artist that you like will do the thing
yeah.
that you like, or the writer will do the thing that you like. So
get
that's
together
the other
but
part.
It's, but
like,
it's, I think the thing about the fandom that really people need to realize is, it is not someone else's job to make your perfect jerk-off thing. Like,
yeah.
if someone makes a thing and it's close to your perfect jerk-off thing, that's awesome, because and you didn't have to do anything. That's great. It is only someone's job to make your perfect jerk-off thing when they are paid physical money to do it.
Yeah,
and they agree to.
Yeah, and they agree to.
And if you, like, make stuff yourself and someone makes something that's close, what you do is you take that thing that they've made, you get inspired by that, and you're like, well, this thing, but what if it went in the way that I exactly want? And then you make that,
yeah.
and then you explode in
yeah.
your below times area.
One of the things that the TF fandom really has on the furry community is TF is much more a spirit of collaboration. It's much more a spirit of, like,
I've noticed that
I'll take this thing that you did and do it differently. Nobody's ever been a dick to me about that, taking
yeah.
ideas from other things. And I've never felt like somebody was stealing from me.
Yeah.
I mean,
so the thing with that is that if you are inspired by someone, you credit them. Mm-hmm. And if don't use the exact same, like, characters and story,
yeah.
don't just say, oh, it's this character or this, like,
yeah.
you know,
don't, like,
setting.
Don't swipe people's shit.
Yeah,
don't, like,
but you can just go, oh,
like,
I really like the idea of this,
yeah.
You know, this thing, so I'm just going to write something that's quite like that, but in my way. But don't just be like, oh, it's these characters
yeah.
fucking in this way.
Because I feel like that is, yeah, versus, like, the furry community at large, it's just like, you can't be like,
the furry community.
I created people turning into cats!
Yeah.
That's my thing!
The furry community is very protective of species and
of characters,
and characters and markings and all these kinds of things. Not that that's not, it is what it is, basically. But I think one of the things the TF community kind of has on that is, we are in it for the concepts.
Yeah.
We're not necessarily in it for the
and
concrete
the other,
things.
The other cool thing about the community growing is, like, as there are all of these, I mean, I feel like furry cons really are, like, the main space to, like, there's that level of overlap, but, like, there's all the get-togethers, and there's panels showing up at all the
yeah.
cons.
There's a lot of
meetings
and stuff you can go to. And
yeah.
furry is a good place to hang out if you're a TF.
It's probably the safest, easiest space to make that happen.
To meet
but
people.
But, I mean, yeah, there's more, like, sites, like, meetup sites where you can, like, get local communities together and
yeah.
do stuff. So
I
feel like it's a good thing.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of people in the furry fandom who, like, 5 or 6 years ago made fun of TF, now being on their Twitter like, oh, this TF is so fucking hot. And I'm
yeah.
like, oh.
Yeah. Because now
it's like you have a lot more people who are openly saying, like,
yeah.
and the only way
yeah.
that changes
is, if you
is,
say
for,
it.
Is for me to be like, no, I think this is hot. Yeah. Well, you think that's hot? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
And then they know that they can't say to your face, wow, that's stupid. You're stupid. And if they do, they're an asshole and don't be friends with them. Yeah. I think my wish for the future of the GF community is for people to be able to talk about it more, for people to be just generally cooler about it, for everybody to be cooler about sex or not sex or whatever. Mm. I just want people to be more, your thing is your thing, and I can indulge it, and I can step away from it, and know how to interact with each other on that adult human level that I feel like really is the thing that could get us to the next place community-wise.
Sweet. I think that's that question.
That's definitely that question.
On to the next one.
Someone asked, basically, why do you feel like one-shot TF images are usually in the middle of the TF sequence? What about a single image that of the person knowing that they're going to transform or cut and then cutting to the last thing? I think that those are interesting, and I really like those in the context of when there is also a story. Mm. I feel like if I want to create a piece of media that is not going to have a story, or that I want the audience to write the story, then I'm putting it in the middle. Just because
how else are you going to know it's a TF, right?
Yeah.
Well you can, do a lot of framing stuff, and you can kind of give people more conceptual work. I feel like the person asking this question is really into the idea of TF as a concept and being conceptual. I can tell you as a content creator, when I put shit up, if it doesn't have TF in it, people are like, well, do they end up as a girl? Like, you know what I mean? And I'm not mocking anyone. I'm just saying, like, people really like to have the whole scenario spelled out for them.
Yeah.
And that the only way that I can do that in a single image is a mid sequence kind of thing. And even then after that, I have to kind of fill in the blanks. Mm. Or I really like when people will fill in the blanks for me.
Yeah.
Like, if they want to take this thing that I did and imagine that it goes totally differently in their head and then do something of their own based on that, fine.
It seems like that question was just like, I should just grab a sequence, cut the middle out of that sequence, and then you're
good. You know what people call that? Poof-TF.
Poof-TF.
but the worst cardinal sin.
But the thing is, let me just say that in terms of, like, why can't you have images that are, like, the last image of a TF sequence and then say that's a TF? A little secret, that can be every picture.
Yeah.
If you want,
just go find a picture of a dog on the internet.
Go find a picture of some. Yeah. Go find a picture of like a hot sort of furry or something that you think is really hot, and then you can just go, okay, what if there was a hot lead up to this? Because I've totally done that. I've totally gone like, oh, here's a hot endpoint, but what if it was, you know, this other thing, and then just write a story sort of back from there. And also as like a front point, you can have like a hot sort of starting thing, and then go, oh yeah, and on from that. Like, that, you can do that. That's something that exists. But in my mind, that works best with,
and
here is a picture, now it's a story, or
also,
captioning.
Let us preface this by saying we have no problem with PoofTF. If it works for you,
go. If you like PoofTF, great.
I have a problem with PoofTF.
Fuego has a moral issue with PoofTF.
I picked up a story yesterday trying to get turned on for some play, and the opening was so good, and it hit all my buttons, and I was like, they were like, the TF is going to take 8 weeks, and then she passes out and wakes up as a dog, and I was like, what the fuck?
But it's not that person's job.
No, that's
it's
me.
It's my job.
I gave myself doggy blue balls.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. I'm just saying, that's it.
Doggy blue balls is a blues musician.
We're actually keeping this pretty tight and doing good on time.
What's the next one we got?
All right. How are transformation story structures affected when you verbalize them with another person? So basically,
they get slimy.
I think we're talking about not just like written stories, but like I think they're talking more.
They're talking about play,
like play and scenes and stuff.
But
at least that's how we're talking.
Well, so the difference between a scene and a story, which is a good question.
Yeah, like how do stories change when you're actually doing them as a scene instead of a story? And generally, they're faster, they're looser, and they don't have to be as good.
No.
Because you can do
You are touching their genitals.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
You're touching their genitals. You don't need to think of as many
touching.
Yeah, you don't need to think of as many different, like, you know, fancy words and, like, metaphors.
So here's a good example of that. You know how when you're really close and you go find a story and you're like, scroll, 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 where's the part where the girl turns into a fucking dog? That's where it starts. And you just read that part. And sometimes you like cut a paragraph and you're like, get me to the money shot because I need it right now.
Mm.
That's what a scene is. You play it by ear a little bit to see where somebody is.
You can do, I think it's useful to have the framing context though.
Absolutely.
But you have foreplay beforehand, before naked, while you're at dinner, start talking about the setup to
always
the story.
Always good to like, instead of, and not that improvising a scene isn't a bad thing, thing, but, like, it's pretty good to, like, lay out what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Especially with something as complex as TF, like, it really helps to, like, be like, and then we'll do it this way, and then we'll
I think
do
it's
it
good
way.
To talk about it and lay the groundwork and ask them questions and do all that stuff, which, you know, is a little familiar.
Yeah.
But,
negotiate.
Yeah, exactly. But, and not just negotiating, but understanding, like, where is this good for you, whatever, and then you have all of the information you need to make those decisions in the moment in terms of dialogue and stuff, which we've talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that in terms of the story structure, like, you're playing out whatever part of the scene is hot to you. So you could have a person who the hot part of the scene isn't changing. The hot part of the scene is everything that happens after you change.
Yep. Yeah.
And then that's the part that you're acting out while you're having sex, like...
Which is pet play. That's pretty
which is pet yeah. play, basically. Yeah. But, I mean...
But there's emotion in that pet play that's not there when the person is always a pet.
Yeah.
But also, like, in terms of a scene, like, you don't have to worry so much about it being, like, concrete and it being sort of, like, as... sit as it is in an actual story. You can go like, okay, here we go, we're at A, we're at B, we're at C. Oh, you physically are at, like, Y now? I'm going to jump to at least X. And then go, there we go.
Going on right now. We're a lot of bullet points in that space.
We need a whiteboard. Let's talk about the concrete aspects of doing a scene. So, like, you'll set up your space, you'll have discussed how vaguely you want it to go and what parts of it are important to you. And then when you start physically touching the other person, you are talking to one another. So the person who is changing the other person is saying, this is what's going to happen, this is what you're feeling, your ears are changing, you're touching their ears.
Yeah. But you can ask them how they're feeling,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. And again, what does this feel like to you?
Touching doesn't even need to make any, you know, if you don't want it to, it doesn't have to happen. It's great when it does, let's be honest, but it doesn't have to even play into it. You can do long, drawn-out scenes of TF where maybe it's more of like a domestic thing, maybe, you know, do it in chunks of time.
But maybe it's over Skype.
Everybody...
Everybody
likes the idea of long drawn out scenes. I want to get off. I want to play a scene for 20 minutes and get off.
Yeah,
done.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm saying for some people,
but you can
out
do
there,
a long
yeah.
drawn out scene that lasts 3 days and you get off 25 times.
That is true.
Or, it turns out.
Or you can do a long drawn out scene and then go, oh shit, we're nearly like, we need to finish this right now. So start it out as a long drawn out scene and then go, oh yeah, and then orgasm everyone. Go, 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 go,
yeah. go.
Go,
go,
go. And then you go out for dinner and you come back and you do another scene that continues.
Yeah. Or at the same time, you can just go, oh, you're not quite there yet. I'm just going to go over again the same notes and just sort of extend things a bit more in a way that if you were writing that as a story, you'd be like, okay, come on, you just said this. You're just saying it again.
The thing you're saying then is it's timing.
Yeah.
And being there in person with someone and building a scene.
Or even just having the sort of the two-way conversation, you can work with timing.
Even if you're not in person, but understanding the timing that someone else needs to make it work. And that's the aspect that is unique to a scene from a story, because you're not interacting with the person on the other end of the story. You have no idea what their timing is. And so, like, and people run into that with writing all the time of, like, well, the money shot came too quick, or this, or that. And because I'm not talking to you, dude.
Yeah. Something I used to do in the stories, which I've kind of got too lazy to do, is just having, like, a highlighted section or just like a little sort of bit of lines to separate it, like, this is the money shot section.
Oh, you are like, a genius. I would love that.
Yeah, if you want to just skip to this, here it is. I think actually what it was like the intro was separated out from the rest of it.
You're
but
a genius.
In terms of the actual money shot section, it's not a bad idea of just having like, if you want to skip to it, I'm going to highlight it. Here it is.
Put triple X there and you could just search triple X and boom, you're there.
Control F5 money shot. Did we answer, I think, the question, like, is that kind of what they were really asking in that?
I hope so.
They were asking how building a story is different than building a scene.
And
story different if you're verbalizing it, which we're choosing to interpret as a scene. Seems to make more sense than just telling someone.
Because you're not verbalizing
You're in communication with a human being in some sexual sense, I'm assuming, so take feedback from them and tailor where you are in your story based on that feedback.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then everybody comes.
I think that's good. All right.
The next question is, what are your thoughts on mixing business and pleasure with respect to creating TF content? Does making for-pay content have any influence on how TF material, or any fetish content for that matter, appeals to you? Do you ever get burned out on TF because you've been working on it?
Quick rounding
up. If so, how do you do
it? Well, I think this is a me and Aang question.
Yeah, I think...
Well, Flago does writing.
That's true, that's true. And but in terms of for sale.
After, oh, for sale, yeah.
We'll sell that cow one.
Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
Oh, you go first.
I have a very quick answer to this. I am a professional artist. I go to work, I do art, and my job that I get paid money by a multi-million dollar corporation to do. I don't talk about that a lot in the furry fandom because I don't want people asking me about my job, but I do art as a job. Then I come home and I do porn as a second job. Does it get tiresome sometimes? A little bit. Do I still do it for fun? Fuck yeah. I don't think I'm ever going to stop doing it. Like, it hasn't dulled how much I like to draw. It hasn't dulled any of that stuff. Like, sometimes drawing can be exhausting, and when that's the case, you don't need to take a break from porn, you need to take a break from working all the time. Mm-hmm. So, like, to me, that's what it is for me, porn is work sometimes, and there's definitely a difference between the porn I do for work and the porn I do for play, but not always. I mean, sometimes things blend, like, especially when me and Ava are, like, brainstorming stuff or, you know, going through stuff like that, like, that's a very fun thing. And
but
it's,
you're also in a very nice position where you're enough of a higher tier artist where you can kind of pick and choose where you're at the point where you can like say, like, I like this idea for a sequence. And I don't think a lot of people have that luxury of being like, well, I really want to make some money doing commissions. So, like, they're more
in a
position.
I think this is mostly about the pay-for-download stuff.
There's pay for download, but I mean, like, if there's an artist out there who likes TF, but is, like, maybe getting commission ideas for things that isn't necessarily their thing, how would you talk about that?
But that's just being a professional artist. I draw shit that I don't care about all the time.
Yeah.
Before money, because that's what being a professional is. Like, there's a certain, I think a lot of people have this thing of, like, oh, there's art block, and there's this, and there's that, and it's true that sometimes you're less motivated to do art than other times, but if you are a professional artist, you absolutely need to be able to make art all the time. You need to make yourself into a machine, and you need to develop that muscle. Doing art all the time is a muscle, and the more art you make, the more art you'll be able to make. This is totally separate from improving, which is removed from making art all the time. It's somewhat a function of making art all the time, but you have to do different things to improve. Mm-hmm. But you need to be able to do the work all the time, if that's what you want to do. I still love making porn, mm-hmm. and I've been doing it for years and years, and I've gone through all the social rigmarole of it. I've had to jump through all the hoops and try and explain to people what I do for freelance without talking about dicks. And there's all these other things, but I still love doing it. And so, and the really cool thing about the pay stuff is that we get to pick the stuff that we do. Mm-hmm. So I'm not working on projects where I'm like, man, this is bullshit. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm working on stuff where I'm like, damn, this
and
is
you
boners.
Have, yes, you have the ability to do that, too, is to, like, pick the commissions you want to make, which was my point.
But that's, like, the difference between for pay stuff and on commission stuff.
Yeah.
I don't do, a lot of people will do that. They'll take commissions and then make it into pay stuff. I don't do that because I want all the pay stuff to come from me. Mm-hmm. I want,
that's where the passion is.
Yeah, exactly. I want it to come from the stuff that we like because every book I do is minimum 50 hours of work. And I'm not putting in 50 hours of work on something I don't think is good.
Yeah, exactly. And just to say from my side of things, I'm not as sort of driven as Aang is.
I'm sorry if I just made myself seem
I just want to say that the way that I tend to do it is that when I'm working on something, I'll go to work, come home, and then I'll have about at least an hour in the evening to get stuff done, but in terms of working on the side project porn stuff. But I generally try and make sure I do that 1 hour every evening, and on the weekends, you know, try and at least get out like a couple of hours each day kind of thing. And then doing that, solidly chugging away, I can generally get through a book like in the space of a few months kind of thing.
That's a lot of hours of work.
And let me
But that's the thing. It is a lot of hours of work. Like, people have this idea that, like, well, porn is fun. This is still work. Creating content is still work. And for me, porn is my second job. So, I mean, you do have to be able to, like, it's fun at times.
Fire porn, thunder, hot tub.
But the important thing is that it adds up. If you do a page a day, like, and you just make sure you do it, like, on average at least, like, 4 days a week, that still adds up. So over the course of, like, a month, that's a decent amount of pages. And you have to...
someone who's written a fuck ton of porn.
And you have to make sure that just because you've done work, you don't overvalue it. Don't go like, oh, I've spent, you know, 4 hours doing these four pages. That means I have to have them. If you've done 4 hours, done four pages, and then you look at it afterwards and go, actually, these pages aren't necessary. You have to still be able able to throw them away. Anyway, sorry, that's sort of a different thing. But,
no, it's a valid point. And, you know, and it's too, good information for writers.
I feel like, yeah, this has kind of come up in other realms. Like, they're talking about like how they just launched this new paid YouTube thing. I think that paid stuff, like the stuff that you guys do, is good because, like, it kind of creates, like, an upper echelon of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know? And this is the other thing I wanted to say, too, is, like, it's important that if you want a specific thing and you find an artist or a writer who will be out to be able to do it, it's important that you give them the money to do it, you know?
Like, we definitely produce better content than we would if we weren't paid to do it. Because I wouldn't spend the time doing this if I couldn't get paid to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it is a huge sacrifice in terms of time. I could go home and watch the entire, like, IT crowd.
Yeah.
But I don't because I need to go home and work on, you know, porn. And I know people appreciate it because we've been really lucky and successful. Yeah. So.
Although one other aspect of this question I just wanted to quickly touch on was they said that they asked that how does doing stuff for pay change what you do? That is actually something that we consider, and the fact that, like, in terms of the stuff that we've got on next, we've got sort of two projects in the works, and one of them, we're basically sort of looking at it and going, well, we kind of want to do something that's a little bit more general, a little bit softer, so we're going to go with one rather than the other, because we do sort of take into consideration for something that we're just making and releasing out widely for, you know, everyone who wants this, we do go, okay, what is it that we think it would be more generally appealing, and what fits the whole of what we've currently been releasing.
Yeah, if we release hard, then we want to release a nice one.
Yeah.
And we want to release a couple of nice ones before we release a hard, scary one. We like to intersperse free stuff with our pay stuff, and that kind of is a thing because the one that is the hottest right now is the hard one that's not going to sell.
The hottest one for us.
Yeah.
Like, that's definitely something
it's
that like we've been
so
thinking
easy
about.
To be like, oh, we want to do this, it's a hot one, but, like, yeah, they're taking a break because they realize that...
And you have to balance self-indulgence with wanting to market to an audience.
And it's not like the other one isn't going to be super great and isn't going to be super hot,
no,
but
it's
not...
Be great.
Yeah, it's not... It's just not the thing that we tend to think about the most privately, but it's still going to be, and it's still going to put a lot of, like, quality work into it, but we just don't want to, I mean, it's the charge that I had at me, which I think was fairly fair. We don't want to just keep doing the same things over and over again, and by the time we get to the third one in a row, everyone's like, this is good, but it's just the same as the previous two ones you've done. We want to make sure that we mix it up so someone can go...
It can't all be dog girls, people, as much as you want.
We want to make sure that if someone goes...
It can't all be lesbian puppy drama.
We want to make sure that if people are like, well, you know, we didn't like that last one, we don't go, well, here's another one that's exactly the same as that.
Yeah, so we do try and be cognizant.
Although Pavlov is lesbian puppy drama.
Yes.
That's that.
Yeah. Anyway,
let me toss something else in here real quick to the end of this question, which is that for me, I have a day job and I do some writing, but it's the opposite. I can't write a good scene unless I'm really horny. And if I'm really horny and I wrote a good scene, I get hornier and I can write another good scene. So the more that I'm doing the stuff that I like in this way, it kind of like
the more in that
snowballs.
Mode you are.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
You get yourself in a mode and something is good to you. The problem with sex stuff is that, I don't know if this is how everybody works, but this is how I work, where you have your boner du jour.
Oh, yeah.
Where
oh, yeah. And that's what you gotta work on.
This fetish or this scene or this concept is super fucking hot to me right now. You have to be able to get the work done before that fades.
Before it ends.
You either have to get the work done before that fades, or you have to have the discipline to keep working on
it. Well, that's what happened with my cow story.
Mm. Yeah.
I shelved it for like a year and a half, and I'm coming back to it now to finish it up.
Mm. Anyway, there's more that we could say on this, but we should probably move on to another question before we go over too far.
All right. So our next question is this one. Most people consume TF content through art and or creative writing. What opportunities do you think there are beyond these two mediums? What space is crying out for more TF content? Fuego said something immediately.
Yeah, pro-dom stuff. So either paying someone to perform a scene for you. So like a professional dominant. You would say, this is the thing that I'm looking for, and they would come over dressed like Dr. Frankenfurter and, like, do that to
or
you
not
and
always.
Talk you through it. I was joking.
I was thinking more like dressed like Dr. Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too. Okay, bring over, like, the table and the electrodes and stuff and hook you up.
I mean, there are, like, that's something, I've seen some things, like, there's, like, videos of that sort of thing, or even, like, videos of people themselves turning into things. Is it Mr. X or something does
it's
stuff
something
like that?
Somebody does pay, like, on clips for sale.
Yeah,
somebody
yeah.
does TF stuff that's porn that's clips for sale. So, in that avenue, cam whoring, like webcamming.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Cam whoring where people have body mons is pretty huge. Mm-hmm. Like, there is a woman in the milking scene, sort of, that has milked herself to the point where she sort of has teats.
Yeah.
And her videos for pay are fucking amazing.
I think even,
and
like,
a lot of people like those.
I'm always the guy who's just like, oh, maybe not bonus. But, like, yeah, maybe there's, like, YouTube things that you could do that are safe for work in terms of, like, a TF sort of a thing that are, you know, certainly I feel like the video is...
I feel like video is more accessible as a medium now. Yeah. And it's easier to produce video because everybody has a video camera in their pocket.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's also custom hypnosis audio clips, which are huge and awesome.
I'm sure everyone's seen that spaced out lion picture ad.
Oh yeah. So that's a huge one right there, and I think there's a lot more space for custom stuff in that realm. If somebody would make a website that was easy to use to buy stuff and commission stuff,
audio stuff in general, I feel like there's probably a lot of place for. I mean, podcasts, but also like audio books, audio dramas, even. Stuff like
just
that.
Audio readings of stories. That's something that would be cool
but
to see.
But somebody
sometimes.
Performing a
Yeah,
story,
someone doing it like as a VA.
Oh,
That would be sick.
Or why aren't we monetizing this stuff? Let's get on this, guys.
We should.
An actual videoed scene between two people that was sort of like a conventional porno, but they are talking through a TF scene. They're doing TF stuff with each other.
Yeah.
Could also work out.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think that
it's a little less
if
anonymous.
You could add a little bit of special effects stuff, that's the thing. Is it is
costuming?
Less, it is less anonymous, and especially putting your voice and stuff, it's more.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to be you'd become a porn actor, right?
You'd,
which
you'd
is
have
a thing.
To be cool with us.
You know, like video games is always as a cool medium. I know there's probably content creators out there who could
already definitely TF porn video games.
Oh yeah,
Abe Wright's for one of them.
Yeah, Trials in Tainted Space, and what's the other one?
Corruption of Champions.
Corruption of Champions. Yeah, that's
right. There's one more too that I can't remember the name of. It as a cowgirl in it that I love.
Is that Slave Maker?
No.
Are those more like text adventure games?
Yeah, they're all text adventure ones. Yeah. Although a lot of them have like sprites up on the side. That's the one. That's one where I definitely keep doing the same thing until you find the potion that turns you into cowgirl kind of thing.
Yeah, I just continuously go to the farm and drink the milk. Just like I'll just be like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the farm and drink the milk today.
But I think there's definitely more of a market for that stuff.
And there's that other one that I can't remember.
Sell it. Don't just give it to us. Sell it.
Yeah, exactly. If you
make it 99
well,
cents
the thing is, the way that worked for the Corruption Champion guy, for Phenoxo, was that he did like a Patreon sort of Kickstarter for Trials in Tainted Space. So
he made
still,
a ton of money.
It's still free, but backers get extra, and backers get sort of early access.
Yeah, and it allows him to pay his content creators, so he can commission all the stuff, and it's better.
And I feel like, you know, a lot of that stuff is evolving a little bit too, like whereas, you know, like Abe and Aang do like ebooks which have like story mixed with illustration, which is really cool. As before, you could only get like story as like the text file sort of a thing, and then, you know, maybe moving into like, you know, get your transformation porn on your Kindle or you know, stuff like that is kind of neat.
I think it'd be super cool to have a Kickstarter for one of those games where one of the higher echelons was that you could suggest a TF to be in the game.
Yeah.
That's definitely a thing. I can't remember if that was in his Kickstarter or not, but I mean, there's an issue of that. What if they suggest one that you just super don't like?
Or it's very hard to do or write for.
Yeah. I mean, that's something where you would have to negotiate on that afterwards and maybe give a refund. Or if you are a dominant, perhaps a level where you could be an NPC that changes people in the game.
Yeah. And that's definitely.
Definitely a thing.
There are issues with writing existing characters into games because sometimes people don't like them and you have to deal with that.
Yeah, so that's something that, you know, you need to negotiate. It's business. That's how it works, right?
The problem with games and stuff is that they're much more of a time investment than just art or stories.
If there was an H game that existed, for example.
That was like a really big time investment and I couldn't do it.
Although,
but,
I mean, you could do, if you write the engine and your content separately, then adding a new game to the engine is just content creation. I mean, there's a ton more content creation.
But the content creation for Choose Your Own Adventure is nuts.
We definitely
I mean, you do that more than I do, but when we were doing the H game, like, it quickly became like, holy shit, this is going to get out of control. And that was me trying to put together a game in Renpy, which is a thing that already exists that I think is written in Python. That's like, it's an engine that's created for visual novels.
Which is really nice.
So it's ready-made.
I feel like this
is very easy to use, and it would be easy to put together.
I feel like this is a way like we're bringing people together, because if you want to do a game, and you're a writer, and you can find a programmer who can help you make your
game. But all those people need to have the drive to finish the project.
Yeah,
and how often does that happen?
Whenever there's a Kickstarter, they get paid. So that's how money affects your content creation.
It's very easy as like a single person to be like, I want to make art, or I want to make a story, but when you have multiple people trying to
coordinate a team.
Not to say that that can't happen, but like that's the other layer you have to worry about when coming up with bigger picture stuff.
Yeah.
Flexible Survival, that's the other game I was thinking of. That's also, that's very sort of, there's a lot there. It's very broad, that game. So
Flexible Survival, like a muck?
No, there's a version of it that's single player.
Okay.
And it's very broad. There's a lot of content in it. The difficulty I find with that game is it's harder to, like, if you like this one specific thing, it's harder to find that and just do that.
Yeah,
but it's still
a debugger.
Yeah, it's still very, like, I've still definitely gotten some good quality time out of that game.
Okay.
So, yeah, in terms of games to sort of recommend, I would add that one to the list.
I've done a lot of missions based on Flexible Survival. So
yeah,
people
exactly.
like that. So yeah, those are all, I guess we mostly talk about like video games and audio
those are the ones that we're saying could be prime
stuff.
Yeah,
more.
I think costuming too, you know, like there's obviously fursuiting is kind of its own thing, but like there's, you know, if you're, you know, I would love to see more people interested in like the prosthetic aspect of it.
Or people doing prosthetics is a progressive thing.
Yeah, I'd love to see good cosplay that is also porn. Like, some people do really good cosplay. I'd love to see that. That's also porn.
No, that exists.
Have sex people take videos of it.
But you want
like
girls
porn.
As lizards
owl
having
porn.
Sex.
Yes.
Which is
anyway.
Fine. GIFs. Like, doing progressive GIFs. Some TF stuff, I feel like, could be really good.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's cool.
Yeah, I think that's the question.
The next question I'm gonna answer, there's more to this question that's about how do I get started making TF content. I would like to do a separate podcast about that topic. There's a little piece in here that I do want to talk about, and it's basically, I'm afraid of making TF content because I'm afraid of people not taking me seriously as an artist, or I'm afraid of people finding out, or what happens when you want to then be a professional artist and whatever. Here's the thing. Make porn under a pseudonym. Make sure no one knows what it is. You can still get a regular job. It's not that hard. Like, it's not that bad. Like, no one at work, no one at my actual job knows that I make pornography. Like, a lot of people in the pornography sphere don't know what I do for my actual job, so it all kind of works out. You can still be an artist, even if you draw porn. There's a lot of professional artists that draw pornography. There's people who work for Nickelodeon who also draw, like, pretty hardcore stuff. Like, you just have to know how to balance it. And you don't always even have to keep it under wraps that you draw porn, but not everyone is always cool about it, and sometimes people can be dicks about it, so...
Yeah, and it can be a lot easier to just keep it secret, so you don't have to worry about that sort of thing.
If you're really super paranoid.
Yeah, if you're really super paranoid, you could just be like, well, I'll just make sure I'm, you know, super secret. I use a completely separate secret name for this than all my other potentially online secret names. And when I started out, I initially, like... wrote all my stories with American spellings rather than my native British spellings, just because I was like, yeah, fuck it, I'm just going to be super secret spy and no one will be able to figure out where I am, even though all I was doing was just not putting the U in color. I got a lot of other things wrong, but I was just like, that one will throw them off.
Get it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you don't have to really worry about that. Just don't put your real name on your porn and you're fine.
Or you could be like me and completely own it and just work for a guy who writes for Fiction Mania sometimes.
Yeah, I feel like you're in a unique situation.
If you're able to muster the same levels of fuck everything, I will punch you in the throat if you try and step to me as Fuego, then Godspeed. Most of us cannot live at that setting.
No.
Just be smart.
No,
about
she
it.
Lives on maximum.
Yeah.
Always maximum.
Be
smart about yourself online, but I mean, you've been learning to be smart about yourself online forever. Like, making porn doesn't really add to that. So, I mean, the only thing that would really be tough is if you had a super-duper distinctive style.
That, or if making porn for you involves, like, videos or pictures of yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Then that's an added layer of stuff to be, you know, careful with.
Okay. So, that's it for that question. Our next question, we're going to try and breeze through. Fuego has a pretty good answer for it. So, if we derive pleasure, presumably, from TF fiction and art, why is there such a high prevalence of punishment-style TFs, i.e. the person is transformed unwillingly and does not enjoy the new form? If TF is like BDSM, why is the intimate and safe relationship between top and bottom stripped away? And does the eroticism of TF suffer for it as a result?
absolutely fucking not, because it is a fantasy.
It isn't real.
Fantasies are problematic. BDSM, we say, is safe, sane, and consensual so that we can get people who give BDSM a bad name to off our effing back, okay? And keep people who are legitimately dangerous out of spaces where they can hurt people. However, what we are doing both in BDSM and TF is playing out fantasies that are problematic and dangerous and scary with one another in our heads, in fantasy.
People focus
on that because that's what gives them boners.
Yeah.
If you want to know why people do something in their sex, it's because it gets them off.
And that's it. So the people who are writing and who are consuming punishment-style TFs like that.
Yeah, that's what they're into.
It's playing with fire. Like, the fire is dangerous and it's risky, but that's fun and that's intense.
Yeah.
And that level of intensity fuels the amount of boners that you get.
The relationship between the top and the bottom is safe in how they talk to each other outside of a scene.
Negotiation.
The relationship between me and Fuego or me and Abe is safe because I trust them, like, implicitly. Like, I know they wouldn't do something to hurt me. I know that they have my best interest at heart. We get into a scene, they can still be mean. Or I get into a scene with Fuego where I'm topping, I can still be mean. Like, you can still be brutal because part of it is you're trying to frame that space. I mean, me and Fuego did a scene earlier this year where she fake kidnapped me, held me down to a table, tied me up, injected me with saline to, like, mimic being kidnapped and turned into a thing. It was pretty intense and scary.
High five with that, and it was so boners. I helped with that.
but the reason why it was hot was because there was all of those kind of squeaky, dangerous elements to it. The reason why it was okay is because we had talked about it extensively beforehand.
And we were in a space specifically designed
for that. We were at a play party.
And Fuego knows how to do injections well.
Yeah, don't...
That was not like a...
Make sure you, you know...
Yeah, but I mean, as far as doing a scene that's intense, like, that's one of the more intense scenes I've ever done.
We had a scene... very recently that was so intense where Boda was topping that she cried.
Yeah.
Like, I was bottoming and she was topping and she cried.
It was really cathartic.
But it was just
really
emotionally intense. We talked to the crying point.
That was sex. Yeah, if you want to shame a character in a story, it's a character in a story.
That's how you get off.
Yeah. Yes. But to the point of having those spaces that are really emotionally charged, that's a great catharsis then when it's over.
Yeah. Mm.
Because I can tell you, I cried and then some other stuff happened that's more private, and then I felt awesome.
It was all
because we were playing a very dark, sad scene that was like really about like the end of someone's life as a person and the beginning of their life as an animal. And there was a lot of emotional stuff going on there, but like...
Yeah.
But that's hot. I mean, it's hot to you. Like,
it's super hot. That's what I need. Lesbian puppy drama.
Lesbian puppy drama. Fuego goes a little farther than I do in terms of wanting the humiliation, wanting some of that other stuff. But like, I mean, in the moment, it's hard. Like,
but outside of a scene, though, like, in terms of like sequences and like stories and stuff like that. At the end of the day, it's fiction.
We're not abusing each other here.
So I think the thing is then that porn and scenes create a safe space for us to do unsafe things.
It's like a haunted house or a roller coaster,
or a horror movie, like a body horror movie, like Ginger Snaps 2.
It's also brought to you by
Ginger Snaps 2.
Now on DVD.
Our next question we got is about, have you ever experimented with TF as a visual metaphor for either a personal or public issue, or as a means to address such a topic? Would doing so eliminate what is entertaining about the story for you? And I think this we're going to fold into another podcast, because we already said we were going to do the TG podcast, and I think probably the personal issue that I see intersecting the most with transformation is transgender issues. And at least that's where I've had people who are transgender tell me that their experience is paralleled in any way by our weird science fiction. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's a good fold in.
Forget the dog barking in the background. That's just Fuego.
It's just Fuego?
Yeah, being a dog.
Okay. We got a question I may have missed an episode, but what is the limit on public humility? It seems okay to wear tails and collars in public sometimes, but things like leashes may be too far. What is the limit? How can people achieve the thrill without offending others? So it sounds like this person wants to do some kind of like public humiliation play, but they don't want to get public people actually involved.
Yeah.
There's a very easy answer to this question for you.
This is a question about consent, okay? It's not consent between you and the partner who is humiliating you. It is consent between you and the people who are in that public space. So if you are doing something that can make those people uncomfortable, you are unwillingly making them a party to your sex scene, and that is not effing cool. Things that you can do are things underneath your clothes, things where you know it's there and your partner knows it's there, even vibes, provided they don't make a lot of noise and you can keep it under control, diapers for some people, panties, things like that.
You know what's really
under
great
your
for
clothes.
This? Sexting.
Sexting, making somebody really fucking hot in public, making them squirm, but do not under any circumstances unwillingly make people in public a party to your sex scene against their will. That's like being that guy in the trench coat exposing yourself to children.
Like, this is kind of the weird overlap between furry and scene, kind of, too, because, like, in terms of, like, collars and tails and leashes and stuff like that, like, I mean, like, at cons, like, the general rule is you can wear a collar, you can't wear a leash.
Yeah.
Because that takes it from a fashion accessory into a scene.
And personally, I would advocate that you not wear tails, not wear a collar, not wear a leash in public regardless. If you're at a furry convention, that's a different thing. But if you're out at, you know, Best Buy, I would really super recommend not wearing a dog collar.
Unless you end up on people at Walmart.com.
Exactly. To me, all of those things are sex things. They're private, and they deserve a private space. And
there's
the same way that
inherently wrong with it, but you have to be understanding.
I don't wear
that,
my
you know.
Cat suit in public.
Yeah.
I don't wear sex stuff out for Halloween. Like, I think private things deserve a private space.
Yeah. But again, you know, if it's a little bit more innocuous, totally okay. Like, ears and tails, fine.
At a con.
But understand, if you want to wear it outside of a con, understand contextualization.
If you're
going to a funeral, put the tail and hold on.
Yeah.
The issue is that if you're wearing stuff out that's visible out, then you're going to be that guy, and the amount of that guy that you want to be, that guy or that girl, that you want to be, like, but if you go past beyond the line of, oh, that weird guy, to like, oh, that guy is doing stuff that I don't want to look at, then that is a definite.
Even as a furry, that gives me crazy, like, secondhand embarrassment, watching people do stuff like that. And, like, as much as I want to be like, shine on, you beautiful weirdo, like, you have to understand that as soon as you put on a tail in public, as soon as you put on a collar in public, people are going to know what community you're a member of, and you're reflecting on all of us, and if you're the kind of person that's going to wear using a tail in public, you might not be the kind of person that I want reflecting on me.
So I want to make it a point that we're not, like, trying to police what you're doing or shaming it.
Yeah,
and a lot of this
is
our personal opinion.
It is personal opinion.
However, there is a definite line where it becomes obvious that what you are doing is having a sex scene.
Yeah.
You need to stay behind that line because you can get arrested.
And, same
and it's awful.
Yeah,
it's awful.
And same deal, like, I've seen people who wear, like, their latex hoods at cons out in public spaces. Like, at cons where it's specifically 18 and over, cool. But, you know, if you're, like, wearing that stuff at, like, a family-friendly con, not necessarily.
I feel like wearing
cool.
your puppy hood to Disney World is, like,
illegal, actually. They'll kick you out.
Yeah.
They will not let you wear a mask.
Like, and it's all this stuff is kind of very contentious and up for debate.
The thing
that's not up for debate is don't have sex in public.
Yeah,
that,
don't involve the public in your sex.
In your sex,
unless
exactly.
you are in a specified play area.
No, that's not public. That's private.
Yeah.
That's private.
Yeah.
Then, so if you want, if you're going to say it.
There are sex conventions, like BDSM conventions, all over the country that you can go to and be in places that are quote-unquote public and do sexual things and still be humiliated because a lot of people are just there because they like to be tied up by rope.
Everyone
and
there
if you're a dog, they're
up.
Still going to look at you funny.
Yeah. Everyone there has still signed up for it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you still get the feeling of being
consent.
Surrounded by people, but all of those people are
consented.
But as we kind of said, though, medical room at the safe play spaces can be a really great place to live out those TF fantasies.
I mean, and that was, it was, there was a public aspect to that. That wasn't what made it hot, but, like, there was a public aspect to it. But, yeah, definitely, if you really want the public aspect of it, find a play space. So
or come up with some way to hit your buttons that is not visible to other people.
Yeah.
So that you can see those other people, but they do not know what you're doing.
Yeah, and presumably in that case that you can then transition to a private space
to finish
fairly
off.
Quickly, if necessary, and to finish, yeah.
Yeah, but like in terms of con space, not good. Hotel room, whatever the fuck you want to do
hotel
in that
room's
hotel
room. Fine.
Destroy
con space
it.
Is not good.
Yeah, hotel room, no
don't destroy
please,
it.
Don't actually destroy
please don't fuck in a con space. Please be kind to the hotel staff. If you're going to fuck in a hotel and, like, get stuff all over, clean up.
Throw
clean
down
up,
a paint sheet.
Clean up. Tip fucking generously. Like, okay, so I think we've covered most of the questions that weren't either repeat questions or their own podcast or questions from previous podcasts or that we're going to have to do as a separate thing. So we did our best. We blazed through
these. I think we have one question left.
Do we?
What in love?
What in love? All right.
Baby, don't hurt me.
So yeah.
No more.
We have to plan out our future podcast release schedule, so we don't definitively know when the next one's coming out or what the next topic is going to be, but we'll talk about that. So for now, thanks for listening to our rambling incoherence, and hopefully it was good.
All right.
I'm Angry Boda.
I'm Jared.
I'm ABCD.
I'm Fuego.
And keep fucking up, snakebabies.
Touch my hoo!